Book 2, verses 2 to 3. It's a very popular part of scripture. Can anyone just tell us what Habakkuk 2 says? 2 to 3. Okay, it has come up, finally. Let's give him a round of applause so that he doesn't go to sleep again, please. Thank you. Habakkuk 2 says, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry. Students of literature will know that there's some figure of speech there. It says, though it tarry, it will not tarry. And you wonder, and sometimes you call it tautology, but there's nothing called tautology in the Bible. Praise the Lord. It will never tarry. But the main thing, let's move on to the next slide, please. From what we have seen in Habakkuk 2, we see that a leader should have a vision. Do we agree? A leader needs to have a vision. Because Habakkuk 2 says, write the vision. So we come down to the next point, which is about writing the vision. Because when you write the vision, then you are going to see it day by day by day. And then you are running with it. Because you can say, this is my vision. And so for me to get there, for me to get to point B, or for me to get to point X, which is my vision, I'm going to have to do certain things. And when you are doing those things, you are running with it because you want to achieve that vision. So you run with it. And a leader needs to inspire and motivate people. A leader needs to plan and coordinate so that that vision will be achieved. And then we go for continuous improvement. You do not get to a place and think you have arrived. If you believe you have arrived, then you might as well say, Lord, I am ready to go. I'm ready to join you. I'm ready to leave the earth. Because if you stop going for continuous improvement, that means you have achieved your purpose. You just want to sit in one place and just vegetate. And that doesn't help anyone. Can anyone tell me what the vision of Winning Faith Assembly is? What's the vision of Winning Faith Assembly? Every man a minister. Why do we know it? Because it's written down. Absolutely, it is written down. If it wasn't written, would we know it? No, we won't. Is the pastor running with that vision? Can anybody help me? Is he running with it? He's running with it. Are we running with it? We are running with it. Can I see people who say they are running with that vision? Everyone is running with it. And you know why we can run with it? Because it is written. Because we know it. Every man a minister. Does the pastor inspire and motivate people to ensure that we achieve that vision? Do you feel inspired and motivated to achieve that vision of every man a minister? Yes. Do you see him planning and coordinating to make sure that that vision is achieved? Yes. And can you see that from day to day to day, from one church year to another, he's going for continuous improvement? Yes? Help me, please. Yes. So I am so glad. When I was preparing this, I'm like, this is spot on. I'm so glad that in Winning Faith Assembly, we have a vision. I'm so glad that it is written down. I'm so glad that we are running with it. And I'm so glad that on a day-to-day basis, the pastor inspires and motivates us towards that vision. You can see the planning and coordination going on. And you can see that every day, every church year, it is about continuous improvement. It's about how do we do things better. It's about how do we move towards achieving that vision. Praise the Lord. So we have a very clear example. And I'm really glad. So if you do not have a vision, I'm sure everyone here has a vision. I'm not going to say raise your hand if you do not, I mean to show that you have a vision. If you don't have a vision, please have a vision. Write it down. If you don't have it written, please write it down. My vision is written. I have it on my headboard. So before I go to bed every night, I can see it. Even when I'm lazy on a Saturday and I'm like, let me sleep in the afternoon, I see it. And I know that every day I have to work towards it. Every day I need to work towards that vision. And when I achieve that, then I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, this wasn't challenging enough. I've had to revise my vision over and over again. Because sometimes you get there and you're like, okay, so things have to change. I have to take it a notch higher. But when you sit down in one place and you think you have arrived, then you're not going nowhere. Next slide. How do you know that your vision is from God? If you're passionate about it and you stay committed to it through all storms, then you know that it is from God. The thing about your vision is you are committed to it. You are passionate about it. And no matter what gets in the way, you're going for it. And there will be storms, but you stay committed to it. And we look at Noah and the ark. Did people make fun of him? Did people think, this guy, you must be nuts. Things are not too balanced in your head. Like my brother will say, there are wires touching in your brain. I'm sure that was what people said about Noah. But he was committed. And at the end of the day, he had the last laugh. If you are committed through all storms, through all criticisms, through all the difficulties, through all the challenges, then you know that that vision is from God. And if we look at John 2:17 and Luke 22:15, sorry, we're not reading the verses of scripture because of our time, and I believe that as leaders, as workers, we should take note of these things and go back to look at them. In John 2:17, the Lord himself was speaking when, you know, we had the temple and the traders, and he said, the zeal of the house has eaten me up. The zeal of the house has eaten me up. If your vision is not eating you up, then you need to take another look at it. Luke 22:15 was about the Passover feast, where he knew what was going to happen. But he himself said, I have earnestly and intensely desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So he remained committed to it. In spite of the fact that it was challenging, in spite of the fact that it was difficult, he remained committed to it. And then the next point is, you know your vision is from God if you are optimistic about the outcome. You know that no matter what happens here, you know, the result is going to be great. I am going to achieve it. I know that no matter what the difficulties are, I am getting there. Do we all know Colin Powell? He was who was he? Joint Chief of Staff of the U.S., actually. Top military guy in the U.S., a black guy. He wasn't a white man. Oh, he's not a white man. He's still alive. But he's highly respected, and he said, perpetual optimism is a force multiplier. So if you are very optimistic and you know that is it and I'm going to achieve it, then you can get them. The next thing is if you are persistent, then you know that that vision is truly from God. You need to be persistent. Remember last week we talked about Elisha and the sons of the prophets. Anyone would have thought, the sons of the prophets, oh, very spiritual people, I need to stop and listen to them. But they were a source of distraction. You need to be focused. You need to be persistent. You need to go for it. No distractions allowed. And then you know that it is from God. Again, if we look at Nehemiah, we will know that Nehemiah was persistent. There are so many examples in the Bible. Nehemiah encountered opposition. If we've read the book of Nehemiah, or if we've been in church for a while, you will hear about who were the two guys who were really opposed to Nehemiah building the wall. Tobiah and Sambalat. In your walk, in running with your vision, you will come across many of them. Oh, this wall, if a hare stays on it, if a rabbit stays on it, it's going to collapse. Those are the kinds of comments he was getting. Do you get those comments? I'm sure you do. But remain focused. You look at Paul himself. He was very persistent. Very persistent. Even John the Baptist knew what he had to do. And he remained persistent. Praise the Lord. And then if you are certain that it impacts your family, your local church, or your community, then it is a vision that is from God. If it impacts you and you alone, me, myself, and I, then it is not from God. That is selfish. That is truly selfish. If you're thinking only about yourself, if your vision is only going to benefit you, then it is really selfish. It is not from God. And so you need to take another look at it and say, this is not coming from God. So can we all go back today and take another look at our visions, taking these things into consideration? Nehemiah is another great example. And I said from the very beginning, if you're a leader, whether in the church, whether in the secular, and you haven't read the book of Nehemiah, then you need to pause. And you need to go back to the book of Nehemiah. You need to study the book of Nehemiah. And when I say study, I mean study, not just read. You need to study the book of Nehemiah. There are very many nuggets in there that have to do with leadership. And you'll find it very enriching and very rewarding. Nehemiah embarked on that project. He had a vision. And if you've read the book of Nehemiah, or if you know a bit about the book of Nehemiah, you'll agree with me that it was something that impacted. It had a ripple effect. What he was doing had a ripple effect. He could have remained in his comfort zone. He was the king's cupbearer. He was very comfortable. But that, brethren, would have been his what? Haran. That was his Haran. But he recognized that and he said, I am going to move to Canaan. And did he move? Yes, he did. There's another great writer that I like. His name is Father D'Souza. And he talks about the fact that you have three categories of people. You have drifters, you have failures, and you have winners. Brethren, as leaders, we have to be winners. Father D'Souza says, drifters have no goals. If you don't have a vision, you don't have goals. You may think in your head, oh, I have something. But you find out that from day to day, you don't have clarity. You wake up in the morning and you're like, okay, so what am I doing today? You don't even think about it. You don't think about it. And you remember the very first lesson we said in the morning when you wake up, you say what? Can anybody remember? Sorry? Today my purpose is. And then in the evening, what do you say? I have achieved. How many of us have been doing that? On a day-to-day basis, do we wake up and we just run? Like Pastor says, do you just go plus Jesus minus Satan and then you run? Or do you truly spend time, you know, just seeking God's face and saying, today my purpose is to... So drifters have no goals. If you don't have goals, brethren, you are speaking in tongues from now till tomorrow, you are a drifter. May we not be drifters. Failures have no staying power. If you are put off by the slightest bit of opposition, you are a failure. It's not because you don't achieve your goal, but if, you know, on a day-to-day basis, the slightest bit of opposition or sarcastic comment gets you reviewing what it is you're doing, then you are a failure. But as leaders, we are winners. And so we need to have goals and we need to have staying power. We need to be persistent and we need to say, this is my vision and I'm going to achieve it in spite of all odds. Very quickly, we'll talk about the life of Paul. He remains an eternal example of a leader who understood God's call upon his life and he ran with his vision. Do we all agree? Did Paul run with his vision? Did he understand God's call upon his life? He did. So it's up to us as individuals to find out what God's call upon our lives. What God's call upon your life as an individual is. To understand the purpose for which you have been called. Like Pastor says, we are not called to warm chairs in the church. We are not called to occupy the chairs in the church. We are called to go out there and disciple people. How are we doing it? The method, the call that you have, the way you will do it will be unique to you. What are you doing? Jesus himself had a clear vision and he had goals and he accomplished all of them. Do we agree? Did Jesus accomplish his vision? Did he achieve his goals? He did. So we agree. That's our ever living example. As leaders, we must be finishers. We have to be finishers. We don't have a choice. And that is because our example, Jesus, was a finisher. And he knew how to finish what he started. He knew that things were difficult. He knew that things were challenging. But he went on and on until he reached the finish line. You know, sometimes I say to people, I say, Paul must have been an athlete. Paul must have been a boxer. I don't know, because Paul will say, I have finished the race. He says, as a boxer, you look at all of those things, and I'm like, Paul must have been athletic in some way. Brethren, as leaders in the body of Christ, we have to be finishers. In a race, only one person wins. When you get into the boxing ring, or you get into the wrestling ring, for those of you who watch boxing and wrestling, I used to. And then you go, what do you call it? It's the pinfall, right? And sometimes, until the referee counts three, the person hasn't won. So when you're down, make sure that that count doesn't get to three. For as long as you get up before that count gets to three, then you continue and you're still in the race. We are finishers in the name of Jesus. So let's finish what we started, or what we have started. I am going to finish. And every day I keep saying to God, I will finish. And I will finish beautifully. I'm going to finish strong, stronger than when I started. I don't know what your vision is, but I will finish strong in the name of Jesus. In summary, we need to understand God's call for our lives. What are we passionate about? If you don't have a vision, think about what you're passionate about. And I can tell you that your vision is linked to what you are passionate about. You cannot have a vision and then not be passionate about it. So it will be linked to something you are passionate about. Let's remember that there will always be obstacles to our calls. And we need to translate our calls into visions. So what is your purpose? And then from your purpose, you get your vision. You write it down. You run with it. You articulate it. And you make sure that you inspire and motivate yourself. You inspire and motivate people. And you make sure that you just remain focused. We are finishers. We are finishers. We do not give up. And let's remember that quitters can never be winners. And because leaders are winners and we are leaders, then we cannot be quitters. The Lord will help us to remain focused and to achieve our vision. And let us remember that a leader never gives up. This is one of my favorite slides. And there, what can you see? It's a big zebra, which is on the floor. And you have the lions, which have gone after the zebra. You remember earlier on, we looked at the lion. And I said, if you've been to a safari, and you see the way the lion goes after its kill, then you'll know that as a leader, you will not give up. Because the lion will never, ever give up until it brings down that animal that it's going after. And that's what has happened here. They are saying there must be an easier way. But the fact that there must be an easier way doesn't mean that they are going to give up. A leader never gives up until you achieve that vision, until you achieve your purpose, until you are called home. You go for continuous improvement. Praise the Lord. So this is the end of this module, and we'll spend the next few minutes just taking questions. Yes, Eva.
And Mama, I want you to throw more light on that dogmatic teaching and define it clearly to us so that we can...
Praise the Lord. He says, last week I talked about dogmatic teaching. And to throw more light on dogmatic teaching and what it means. Can anybody help? Reverend, you're welcome, sir. Can anybody help? Brother Alford, can you help us? What is a dogma? What is dogma? Brother Alford wasn't here last week. Okay, Reverend sir.
Dogma is a persuasion beyond logic. You're just set in one thing. Even when every other evidence proves that there is an improved information that can shift your position, but you're stuck with it. It has so many downsides. So it's you being focused on something, even when you know it's not going to work and there are better ways to do it, you're just focused on it. That's a dogma.
Praise the Lord. Eva, does that answer your question? Like illustrations. Illustrations. Dogma. Sorry? Yes. Yes. Okay, so dogma. You know, last week, I talked about jewelry. You don't wear jewelry. And people say, don't wear jewelry. Why are you not wearing jewelry? Because you've been told you shouldn't wear jewelry. You've been told that if you wear jewelry, you're not going to make heaven. And then we stop wearing jewelry. But the floors of heaven, the roads of heaven are paved with gold. That's an example of dogma. I said last week that the person who is saying to you, don't wear jewelry, has a wedding band on. Is that jewelry? Or we don't think that a wedding band is jewelry. That is an example of dogma. Ladies don't wear pants because pants belong to men. But in some cultures, where I come from, where Brother Ofo comes from, the men go tie wrapper well. Even where Reverend Sylvester comes from, if you never tie that wrapper, you are not ready to be a man. Wrapper na woman cloth, have been a man cloth. So dogma. I talked last week about the fact that I was listening to a radio program and there was this guy who said the Bible says that you shouldn't intermarry. And so ever, as far as he's concerned, you have done something wrong by leaving Akwa Ibom State or Cross River State, wherever you're from, and crossing to Umuahia to go and get married. Dogma. Those are the things. Things have moved on. Things have changed. There are better ways of doing things. But you remain stuck to something that really defies reasoning. And you're just stuck in your ways. That's dogma. Praise the Lord. Yes, Eva. Thank you, Eva.
Whose report will we believe? Is it the Bible, the eternal word of God, undisputable word of God, or one man's experience? Let me say this. Whatever God shows you as a revelation, don't teach it as a doctrine.
Praise the Lord. When you get to that place, yourself as an individual, run with it. But don't start teaching it to everyone. There are things that you have to get to personally. That doesn't make it a doctrine. It's about your personal experience and it's about what you have come to as an individual. Remember that there are various calls upon our lives. And that is one of the things that we need to remember. I may not be wearing jewelry, but I may have other gods in my life. The important thing for me is that jewelry, is it a god? Am I ready to step out of my house without jewelry? Am I ready to step out of my house without makeup if I have to? Yes, I am. But the day I say I cannot step out of my bedroom without first making up, that makeup has become a god in my life. And I've got to find a way of getting rid of it. The day I say somebody, my steward says there's somebody at the door and I don't have jewelry on and I'm like, I must look for my earrings or something. Jewelry has become a god in my life. For as long as it is not a god in my life. It's not about the outward adornment. The Bible is very clear. It's about what goes on in the inside. If you have not come to that place, as an individual, then great. If you come to that realization as an individual, remember that our walk with God is individualistic. It is very personal. So like Reverend said, don't preach what is a personal revelation as a doctrine. Praise the Lord. I don't know if Pastor has anything more.
Just add one or two things with that thing. Of recent now, if you are very careful, there are many people that claim they see, they went to heaven or the end time, something that in Ibadan. Some people made heaven, Lagos, maybe this 8. It's going all over the place. Even somebody came to a convention at Ajebo and gave one like that. And somebody said, which report will you believe? With very due respect, at this end time, I mean, many people will be saying so many things. But the Bible is our foundation. Let me tell you how you define a baby in the Lord. Is one that is shifted by every wind of doctrine. And you'll be surprised that many pastors are doing that, shifted by every wind of doctrine. Every small, small issue. It's not going to appeal to us. Let the Bible be our... To me, anything personal to you, even some of them are against Bible, listen to them carefully. And then you hear them, I tell you, this one is a lie from hell. Somebody is deceiving you. And you too, you are... And to spread the story all over. It's not in the Bible at all. Let's be very careful. Even that went to heaven. Anything against this word, you can put it aside. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. We're going to end now, but next week, if there are some more questions, I know Eva has asked quite a few questions. If there are some more questions, next week we'll start with questions, and then we'll go on to a subject. We'll continue in the series. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you for this time, O God. We thank you, Lord God, for even the things you have taught us today. Jehovah God, we pray that you will continue to reveal the deep things to us. Father God, deep things that will make us move, grow, move to new levels, to new heights in our relationship with you. Baba, we will not dwell in Haran. Father, we will move, Lord God, to Canaan in the name of Jesus. Jehovah, we will not be drifters. We will not be failures. We'll be winners. We will not be quitters, O God. Our lives will be living examples. Our lives will be open books. Our lives, O God, will lead other people to you. Father God, we thank you. And we say, dear Lord, you will continue to give us the grace. We tap into that grace, dear Lord. We tap into your goodness. We receive from you in the name of Jesus. As we continue with today's service, dear Lord, we ask that you continue with us. We ask, O God, that you'll continue to reveal things to us. Blessed be your name, Almighty God. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen. Can we please appreciate I again and just thank God.